الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. All praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Brothers in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. If you have parked somewhere where you're blocking other people, kindly leave, change the parking of your car and then come back, because you don't want somebody making dua against you right now and ruining everything, because it's a form of oppression. Some people have business to attend to, they have to go to work, they will get in trouble with their boss if they don't go to work on time, or any other excuse. So if you're blocking someone, please move your car and come back. If not, then obviously you will remain, inshallah. This was a reminder from the brothers. They said that this happens weekly. People just park and they ignore everybody else. As far as the khutbah is concerned, the Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, began by reminding us to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, you must know that the origin or the source of many of the problems that we have today, be it religious or social or moral or behavioral, all of these are due to this spare time that one has in the summer vacation. Okay, spare time. Where people suddenly have a lot of time, which they did not have prior to the summer vacation, and they do not know how to properly utilize it, neither for the deen nor for the dunya. And this has been confirmed by the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, there are two blessings or bounties which many people do not take proper advantage of: as-sihha, good health, wal-faragh, and spare time. People don't properly utilize these two. So, dear Muslims, spare time was considered to be a blessing. The Prophet ﷺ called it ni'mah, a blessing or a bounty from Allah. Because it is during that time where one seeks nearness to Allah through obedience and worship to Him. The dunya is like the farm for you to grow and plant your vegetation for the hereafter. It is a business that you strive for today, and you will make the profit in the hereafter. The day where the humans will rise for the Lord of the worlds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had indicated this in the Qur'an when He said, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَى رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. So when you are done, you are free from the worldly affairs, then stand in worship to Allah. And to Him alone, return your and direct your invocations and supplications in sincerity. When you have time, then you should utilize it in the worship of Allah. Because this is the purpose of life. We were not created for any other objective, which many Muslims forget. The average Muslim today does not remember that Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. He reads it when he reads the Qur'an. But very few are those who actually have the correct understanding and the implications of this ayah. The fact that you were not created to work, or to get married, or to have children, or to make money, or to buy a house, or to drive a car, none of that. These are side issues. These are the byproduct of existence, but not the objective of life. The objective of life is, what does Allah want from you? And today, the majority of the people, they don't care what Allah wants. What they care is what they want, and what will help them gain more dunya, even if it's on the expense of neglecting the right of Allah. It's amazing. If you just think, how can someone be a believer? How can someone be a true believer and he does not care about what Allah said, what about what the Prophet ﷺ said, but he cares about every other thing that is related to the dunya? This is a sign that iman is weak, it is deficient, and it is not sound. طيب, Allah says in the Quran, and remember your Rabb, your Lord, abundantly, and glorify Him during the evening and during the day. So my brothers, when you have some spare time, then you should dedicate this for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب معلش يا brothers جزاكم الله خيرا. Because the shaitan is always working to distract us one way or another, sometimes through good things, and we fall to this often. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair. Barakallah fiqh. طيب concerning then the spare time, do not let this be something that the shaitan takes away from you and uses it in ways that will deviate you from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you become preoccupied with evil as opposed to goodness. And whenever you don't occupy yourself with good things, then you will naturally fall into the evil things and the falsehood. He said, many of the physical, psychological illnesses are due to the fact that people don't properly utilize their spare time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, take advantage of five before five. Take advantage of five things before five things happen to you. Your youth before your old age. And your health before your illness. Thirdly, your wealth before your poverty. Fourthly, your spare time before you become busy. And fifthly, obviously, your life before you die. These are five things that one must take advantage of before the other five things come to pass. How should one utilize the summer vacation? He began this reminder addressing the youth, the young men and women, and we only have in this masjid young men, so you may relate this to the young women, your sisters, and so on and so forth. You must know as youth that actually Islam, after depending on Allah for its continuity and maintenance, depends on the youth, on the generation that is to come. If that generation does not rise to the occasion, does not live Islam, understand Islam, implement Islam, then Islam will be lost. Not as a teaching, but from the people. The teachings will remain. Sahih Bukhari will remain. Sahih Muslim will remain. Tirmidhi will remain. The Quran will remain. But the people will be lost. If the youth are not, if we don't invest into our youth. So he advised you to do that which will help you rectify your condition and get near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to utilize this time with things that are beneficial. For example, there are many gatherings in the masajid for tahfidh. You know, hilaq al-tahfidh. Joining a particular masjid, even if you're a non-Arab, which some Arabs have a problem with because of their misunderstanding of the deen of Islam and because of the brainwashing they've received being raised in a particular country where they think he's better than everybody else because his passport says something along these lines. This is foolishness, but it's available. But I'm sure all of you are mature men and you know that this is not from Islam. This is a problem with people, not with the teachings of Islam. Anyways, join a crowd and try to get involved in this particular hilaq, and along with your children, put them in a place where they may benefit. If you're not really into the whole thing because it's strictly Arabic and you don't feel comfortable being in an environment where you don't understand the language, then I give you an alternative at the da'wah center where I work. There are many da'wah centers in Jeddah, around 8 to 10. Each one of them has a set of activities in English and in Urdu and in every language that you speak. Classes, khutbah translations, learning Arabic, fiqh, hadith, tafsir, everything is available. If you are interested, and we have weekly classes in the da'wah center and elsewhere. We have one in Aziziya Masjid every Tuesday after Isha. One in Urdu, one in English, different days. On Friday there's one in Urdu. There's a lot of stuff going on. So get involved. For this summer, say, I'm going to join a da'wah center, or I'm going to keep up with all the durus, all the classes that are being conducted. Perhaps you will get something beneficial for yourself and for your family. We shouldn't always focus on which beach to go to and where, what country we should spend our, you know, summer vacation at. And the Shaykh will deal with that later on in the khutbah. So I'm giving you an alternative. If you wish, you may speak to me afterwards. I will tell you where the da'wah center is, what kind of classes we have. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to do anything whatsoever. Nobody even will ask you for your name. You will come as an anonymous person and you will leave as an anonymous person. We have no business with you.
except that we wish that the people come so they may benefit from what is being provided already for your own convenience, free of charge. So that is one thing that the youth will suggest, or we suggest to them to do in this particular summer vacation, along with the lectures and the other things that are being conducted on a weekly basis. And other things that may be beneficial for the dunya, they may join a particular course or some sort of workshop where they enhance their dunya knowledge, you know, knowledge related to the world and the material world. No harm with that. The problem is when children are behind the TV set all day, or all day playing cricket from the morning till night. There's no benefit. The tayyib, you're going to become a world champion in cricket or basketball or soccer. وبعدين, you're going to go to Jannah with that? Anybody go to Jannah because they won the league, the world champ? Nobody goes to Jannah because of that. They go to Jannah because of what they do in the deen of Islam. So there's no harm in playing sports, alhamdulillah, better than the people doing drugs and everything else. But not his whole summer vacation is also sports. And no time is given for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should be the other way around. Our righteous predecessors, they would dedicate all the time they had for the deen of Allah. Whatever spare time was left, they will use it for the dunya. Today we have it the other way around. We give all of our time for the dunya. And if we have some spare time, some of us still don't give it for Allah. Even the spare time, you will sleep or eat or do anything, play video games, as long as he does not learn. Ajeeb, wallahi, it's one of the most amazing things. They should add this to the seven wonders of the world. The eighth wonder, a Muslim who during his free time is playing video games. Sometimes old brothers, 50 years old with his children, playing PlayStation. Ya akhi, pick up a book. Most people don't even know how to pray. And if you told them, if you forgot something in ruku' or sujood, how do you fix the prayer? Sujood is sahu. How is it done? When is it done? The average Muslim does not know. Tell me tawheed, does not know. Give me an ayah, does not know. The meaning of an ayah, does not know. A hadith, does not know. But you ask him about anything in the dunya, he will tell you. Oh, this car is 3.0 liters. You know, it goes 60 kilometers per hour. It was made by Toyota 1955. Yeah, Sheikh. You know everything about Toyota. Know something about the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Learn something about this deen, which is your life, which will be the key for Jannah if you ever want to enter Jannah. So brothers, during the spare time, do something beneficial. We have read the seerah by Shaykh Mubarak Furi, Rahmatullah Alayhi, the sealed nectar, Ar-Rahiq Al-Makhtum. Learn what the Prophet ﷺ, how he lived, how he suffered for me and you to be able to quote these ayat and these narrations. And today, we don't care. Being very honest, we don't care. So this speech is addressing those who do care. Those who are asleep, and when you wake them up, they wake up. Some people, they will ever be asleep. You see, you could talk, but Allah says, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The reminder will only benefit the believers. As one whose belief is like this, he will ignore the reminder every Friday, and otherwise he will ignore. So inshallah, all of you bi-idhnillah are people of goodness, people of understanding, people of khair. When you hear the reminder, ya akhi, don't just like it, put it into practice. Do something beneficial. The youth, do something beneficial during the summer vacation. Play sports. Enjoy yourself, but also learn something beneficial for the deen. Learn how to give da'wah to the non-Muslims. Treat your parents with respect. We've seen amazing things in the youth of today. He walks in front of his father. He goes like this to his father. His father tells him to do something, he ignores him. This is not from the character of a believer. No, back then, they asked one of the righteous predecessors. They said to him, describe your father to me. He said, wallahi, I will not be able to describe him to you. I've never put my eyes in his eyes. Since I've been of understanding, I've never dared to put my eyes in his eyes. When he speaks to his father, he speaks like this, out of respect. Now the children, a'udhu billah. As if his father is his buddy, his friend. He talks to him whenever he wants, he ignores him whenever he wants, he screams at him. He's the father. I want this, I want that. If he doesn't give him, he becomes mad with his father, ignores him. Ishad, where did this come from? Where is this from the Muslims? But whose fault is it? I'm not going to say. So this is for the children. The Prophet ﷺ said, every newborn baby, every newborn is born upon the fitrah, Islam. It is his parents who make him a Christian or a Jew, or they maganize him. meaning the fire worshippers. It's the parents that mold the child. He's like clay. You put him like this, he will be like this. You leave him alone, he will be left alone. You raise him correctly, then he will find the benefit. Which is the second address that the Shaykh had. The responsibility for the wulat al-umur. Those in charge of the youth. The youth are to be blamed to some extent. But originally it is us. Or I don't know whether I fall under the older category or the youth. I'm 30 years old, so I'm somewhere between. I have children, so I am more like a father. It's our responsibility. Allah says in the Quran, all you who believe, protect yourselves and your family from the fire. Its fuel is men and stones, the hellfire. It's my obligation and yours to protect our children from the hellfire. The Prophet ﷺ said, each one of you is a shepherd and he is responsible for his flock, for those under his care. The man is responsible for his family and he will be questioned about them. The woman is responsible for her family, her husband and her children, and she will be questioned about them. So we are responsible for them, to educate them, to teach them, so they will learn Islam, love Islam, and implement Islam. We should not let them live their own lives. Rather, you should tell them how they live their lives. They have freedom within the context of Islam. Not independent freedom as the West have freedom. If the son becomes displeased with his father, he calls the police and tell the police, come and take my father, man. He's interfering in my personal life. And the police will come and arrest the father. This happens elsewhere. Some of the Muslims think this is cool. This is, oh yeah, we should follow these, you know, these foolish kuffar. And so they try to bring their habits and their customs into the land of the Muslims. And this is reprehensible and unacceptable in Islam. Your father is your father. And if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't be around by the will of Allah. You wouldn't even exist. So you should be thankful to him. And us parents, we should have some understanding concerning the rights of these children by ensuring that they live according to the teachings of Islam. Do not let him spend his days watching TV and playing and sleeping and eating. This is very similar to the animal kingdom. That's what the animals do. They eat, they rest. You see the cat sleeping on the trunk of your car, even if it didn't ask you first, it doesn't care. It's a cat. It goes wherever it wants to go. It mates with whatever other animal it sees, any other cat, and it sleeps. And if a human being lives like that, then he's no longer a real human being in a sense. And Allah called them in the Quran, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ. They are like the cattle, like the animals. Nay, they are more astray. Those who have ghafla, they are heedless about the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rights of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So protect your children from their evil company. Yani your son, he comes in whenever he wants, he leaves the house whenever he wants, he stays up all night, he comes home at Fajr time, he misses Salatul Fajr, he sleeps until Asr. This is your responsibility. You can't have this happening in your house. You cannot have this. Allah will ask you on the Day of Judgment. You may enter Jahannam because of your children. Lakin, if you don't raise them correctly, if you don't fulfill that responsibility that Allah bestowed upon you, believe me, you will enter Jahannam because of your children. So he cannot be, you know, a freelancer. It's not a hotel. He comes whenever a son should not leave the house without the permission of his parents. If Allah decreed that he died, don't you think you would want to know as a parent where your son was? You just want to hear the news that he was, you know, he died somewhere. Where? Where did he go? With who? Then you would be regretful that I did not know what my son was doing. Who was he hanging out with? So from this moment on, you should be in control. Where he's going? With who? Some of these people, some of these friends are wicked friends. They spend the whole day right next to Danube. There's this video game shop. All of these youth from every nationality and background, during Salah time, they're standing right in front of the store for the store to open after Salah. They don't go to the masjid because of some video game shop. That children, the youth come in hundreds. Everybody smoking cigarettes, thinking that they're cool. Akhi, you'll only be cool if you go to Jannah. The only time you're cool, when you don't go to Jahannam. If you think you're cool today and you're going to go to Jahannam, believe me, you're not going to be cool. Not today and not in the hereafter. So this is our responsibility as those in charge. Lastly, I know I'm taking much of your time. The Shaykh advised those who want to go on vacation elsewhere, Wallah, this summer we're going to go to America. Well, we're going to go to England. Oh, this time we're going to go to Canada. Some people get excited about going to a place of this nature, thinking that they're going to be cool now because their accent is going to be more foreign, or because blah blah blah. Wallah, these people are advanced in technology, and you have all this nonsense. A Muslim should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you read the fatwa of the ulama, the scholars, it is not permissible for you to travel to these countries for tourism. If you're dying and you need some medication or some treatment that is not found here, then you may go. If you're a big da'iyah, big sheikh, and you go in there to give lectures and educate the people about Islam, you may go. If you're trying to learn some knowledge that will benefit the Muslims, not you, not so you can have a master's after your PhD or something along these lines, not for your own personal benefit, rather for something that will benefit the Muslim community, and that knowledge is not taught in Muslim countries, then the scholars say you may go over there to gain this knowledge to benefit the Muslims, if you can protect yourself, if you have knowledge, if you have strong iman. But the average one of us is not qualified to go there. And we could give you hundreds of examples. We know them at the da'wah center. Guy, they call me, they say there's a guy named Muhammad, we want you to speak to him, he needs some da'wah. I said, khair, Muhammad, name is good, alhamdulillah, maybe he has some problems. You know what Muhammad was? Muhammad was an atheist, he doesn't believe in God. I had to sit with him for 2 hours, try to convince him that there's a creator for the heavens and the earth. He doesn't believe. Muhammad was, wallah, living in America. That's Muhammad for you. And that could be any one of us, or any one of his children, any one of our children. You don't believe me? Ask brothers who lived over there, and see the condition of their children. Many of them hate Islam. They hate Islam, they don't want to hear Islam, they don't want anyone to tell them about Salah. So ya akhwan, if you're going back home to your country, and you're able to protect yourself, alhamdulillah. If not, you don't have to go on a summer vacation. Keep the money, do something beneficial here. You don't have to leave unless you want to visit your family members. You have some noble Islamic objective. Otherwise, to travel for tourism to the land of the disbelievers, it does not matter what country it is not allowed. And every single sin that will be committed by you and everybody around you will be on your book of deeds. Every sin that they do, every look at a woman, and this cannot be avoided. Looking at women cannot be avoided there. Every time one of your children looks, he gains a sin, you will get an equal evil deed. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever calls, invites people to evil, he will get a reward of evil equal to theirs, without their reward being diminished the least bit. So the Shaykh said, for those of you who are packing your clothes and you're excited about leaving the country, then fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and protect yourselves and your families from the hellfire and from going to these places where people, the first thing is that they don't even believe in Allah. The first major sin is kufr. Then fornication, then this woman being in a very unacceptable appearance. And this is very normal. And this will brainwash the children, it will brainwash the people. So the Shaykh mentioned a number of evil that they do there, and at least that the evil becomes good for them, and the good becomes evil. So O Muslim, if you intend on traveling to these places and exposing yourself to fitna, then know that the Prophet ﷺ had encouraged that we abandon and stay away from fitna. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, verily the best wealth for the Muslim at the end of time will be some goats that he will take care of in a mountain far away from fitna. The best money that you will have is a money where you are with a bunch of goats in the mountain. Why? Running away from the fitna. Because the fitna is a musibah. It's a calamity. Some people, when exposed to fitna, they fail. And then they are misled from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he mentioned at the end, to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he warned against from traveling, warned again from traveling into the land of the disbelievers. This was in summary, the khutbah that was delivered by the Shaykh. Just a couple of reminders for our brothers. Please, when the children come, just tell them before they enter the masjid that speaking during the khutbah is not okay. And children understand usually. You tell them, Akhi, you know my son, during khutbah, you just remain silent until the imam is concluded, until we're done with the salah. So they will not be speaking during the khutbah, distracting. Similarly, we can say the same thing about drinking water. I know we're all thirsty, but just an hour. Leave alone drinking, because one person who gets up to drink water distracts the whole masjid. Everybody will look at him for what is he wearing, how much is his stove. The shaitan will come with all kinds of nonsense. You start evaluating this person and everything about his life, instead of thinking about what the imam, he may say an ayah that you know, he may say a hadith that you understand. So just because he speaks in Arabic does not mean that it's okay to be busy with something else. Rather, we should focus with the imam, pay attention to him, seeking the reward from Allah. Then it is being translated for you, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Lastly, it is not from the sunnah to raise one's hand during the dua at the end. It is not from the sunnah. One of the sahaba seen one doing it, he made dua against the imam. He made dua against him that Allah will not bless him, because he followed a guidance other than that of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is not a matter of opinion. If you want to seek nearness to Allah, then you do it through the way of the Prophet ﷺ. He never raised his hand during Jumu'ah, nor did the companions. The only time it was done during one, istisqa. If there's rain, we want rain, then the sunnah is to raise one's hand for the rain. Other than that, never did the Prophet ﷺ raise his hand, never did the companions raise their hand either. So we try to follow this guidance in order to, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the detailed way shown to us by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu sallam alayhi wa Muhammad. Jazakum Allahu khayran. And if you want to speak to me about the activities we have at the Da'wah Center, I will be here inshallah for another few minutes inshallah. Jazakum Allahu khayr. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.